All right, this is Commissioner Brooks. Called me the meeting back to order. It's 11:14. Still joining me is Commissioner Van Beek. We're going to take up the last budget workshop with the clerk's office during this time period. The clerk is here, controller, his staff. So, clerk, it is all yours.
Thank you, Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek. Thank you for having us this morning to present our initial budget workshops for fiscal year 27. I have some of my staff here with me this morning. I am a mean boss, so I do make my directors present their own budgets to the board, obviously with my assistants. You will notice, looking into the gallery, that I'm missing a few of my directors this morning. So two of them, both Emily and Haley, directors of recording and elections, respectively, had the week off. So I will be presenting for both of their budgets, coming in here at the tail.
You can't be too mean giving the election supervisor the week off during an election.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we'll go ahead and start with Yvonne and county assistants, and then we'll rock on to courts, audit, and then I will take up the last two at the very end. So if that works for the both of you, then.
Yes.
Works.
Go ahead, Yvonne.
Good morning.
Good morning, commissioners. So the budget for county assistants, not a lot of significant changes. Actually, the overall budget, there's a decrease of about $18,000. So I'll just briefly go over some of the highlights, including the revenue, just to give you a brief outline of the revenue that our department generates. So the county reimbursement, which is previous medical indigency cases, we receive repayment for those expenses that were paid out. We also are now taking an administrative fee, which is 30% of the amount collected for the state catastrophic fund. So that's another avenue of recovery, as well as our guardian ad litem. That is reimbursement from the state public defender's office. And it's based on the amount that the county spends for line item 521190. So that's in the expense. And so those typically should mirror each other, although sometimes we receive reimbursement into the new fiscal year, so they may not align exactly. And so those are our three avenues of recovery that generate revenue. And we are at about 62% of our goal, or our, expectation for recovery. And just moving into the expenses, again, we have a reduction of $18,000. That's primarily due, so the guardian ad litem, and that really has to do with our guardianship and conservatorship. When a guardian ad litem attorney is needed, those expenses are paid by the county, and then they're reimbursed by the state public defender's office. And so this current fiscal year, they were set at $12,500. We don't need it set that high, so that was reduced. It was set at $20,000, and we reduced it to $10,000 for fiscal year 27. Also, there was a decrease in small office equipment expense. The $900 is eliminated. We no longer need the software subscription for QuickBooks. That's been eliminated. The reclassified position allocation decreased from the 4,300 to zero. And then the adjustments for the compensation program decreased as well. So those were our decreases in the budget. So other than that, not a lot of changes.
Chairman.
Yep.
But we have been able to get some volunteers for the program.
Yes.
Which historically that's been difficult to do. So thank you for your leadership. That's really what I want to highlight, is you have really positive feedback from the community here at the county on your ability to lead and generate, inspire teams. And so to have that many added to the role to care for people, this is another state mandate. That's a really great win, and it includes police officers and all kinds of walks of life that just care about humanity. So thanks, Yvonne, for doing that and managing your budget. And I appreciate what you've brought forward and the role that you've stepped into. You've had a number of different positions that have morphed, and you're really flexible. And then that's always when we need something in the clerk's office. Look at Yvonne Baker. She manages well. So, clerk, you have a really good team of managers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And I want to comment, there is a positive note to what you've stated also for the record, and I'm happy that the state picks up through the public defender's office, because there is a need, and that's been lacking for a while on the attorney side. So good news on that, to have that partnership as well. They just sometimes need a person to with legal expertise. So.
Oh, and one additional comment too. The Board of Community Guardians, they do generate revenue themselves as a board. We take a fee from each of the wards. That money is used for various administrative costs, which really reduces the amount that the county has to contribute to things like postage. I can't think off the top of my head the other costs, just things that that reduces the amount that the county has to pay.
Yeah, very good. It's a small budget, but a big impact for people that really need the services. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mom. Thank you. All right. Commissioners, yeah, if we could have Matt Alarcon, the Director of Court Operations, come up and present our court's budget. It is, I will have you note, it is Matt's first budget presentation, so go easy on it, please. Matt does a great job. He's done a great job in the time he's worked for the courts, and I'm excited to see his budget presentation. So, Matt, whenever you're ready, buddy.
Good morning, Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van B.
Good morning.
This morning to hear these preliminary budget workshops. Jess is correct. This is the first time that I've done this, so I'm not exactly sure what I should be presenting. So I'll kind of present what I have in mind, and if I've missed the mark, please let me know. I'll elaborate.
Which file am I supposed to open for you?
Clerk of the court.
Clerk of the court.
Clerk of the court. Okay, not court clerks. Clerk of the court.
And I will say, Jess, that I'm excited, because to have somebody that can come in to a government organization and understand fund accounting and how the presentation, data-driven, what needs and should be presented to the public. You made a presentation here about 10 days ago, and it was very impressive. So I appreciate, I always appreciate the ties and the professional attire, but your presentation matched that well, so we'll look and see what you have.
Appreciate that. So going into this budget cycle, this is my first time doing this, so I wanted to make sure that I wasn't asking for any new money. I wanted to make sure that the worst case scenario was that I came back with an exact match of fiscal year 26. We were able to identify some things, some reductions. The theme, I guess, I kind of have of this budget is reallocation. Some of that money, I think, can be spent in a different way and get a better return on investment for staff and for the public as well. So my two budget strategies for this year are, 10 days ago we came in and we talked about some inequities in the pay grade. We did fix that one. That kind of just bumped it. It
mm-hmm. created
inequity in the next pay grade. In order to correct that fully, it has to be this kind of domino effect as things keep moving their way down. It would be $103,000 annually to make this correction. I currently have a PCN 675, that's funded for $97,000. My ask is that I would sunset that PCN. It's a supervisor PCN from a department that we have kind of reabsorbed back into the clerk side of things on this side of the building. They were at the JJC across the street. I don't anticipate needing that supervisor PCN in the future. And what I would like to do is take that money and reallocate it to fixing the pay grade structure completely. Just in this fiscal year, we could just be done with it. I've been in some preliminary talks with HR about it, and we've identified that our leads are being utilized a little bit differently than they are for other county agencies. We utilize our leads more as kind of an assistant supervisor. Marty had mentioned that leads for other county agencies are used kind of in a fill-in capacity. So when the supervisor's gone, the expectation is that specialty pay will compensate them for jumping in and filling in for a vacation. But outside of those times, the expectation is that they just do the senior level work that any other clerk would do. Our leads don't operate like that. So currently now with the shift that we did, our senior level clerks and our leads are in the same pay grade. So I'd like to try and reclassify our leads to kind of an assistant supervisor position with the help of HR and then move that to the next pay grade. But this would all be self-funded. This wouldn't require any new expenditures. It would be budget neutral to do this if with your permission.
Chairman, a couple of questions. First, are you proposing that before the onset of the new budget, before 27?
That would be part of budget 27.
Okay.
That's what I would like to get October 1st.
Okay.
This new budget would be giving back that position, reallocating those funds to this pay grade structure. The pay grade structure would then be fully corrected. And that's what we would start with fiscal year 27.
Okay. And then I have a couple more questions. So what I heard you say is that the retiring PCN is valued at $97,000.
Yes. Let me get you the exact number. $97,131.83.
It's in the narrative?
I believe... You know, I don't believe I put the actual in the narrative. I do have that for you here today, though.
Okay. And then the to make the adjustments that you've proposed, that's $103,000. So there's approximately a $6,000 difference, but you're saying budget neutral. Clarify that for me.
So it would be a difference of $6,775. So we would be under that. Jess and I have spoken about this. There's always going to be a budget savings with the department of my size. There's never going to be a full 100% staffing on every single day of that fiscal year. So we will always have the savings there, just kind of inherently. It actually, in my mind, be more of a benefit. I know that we try to not be under as well as over. There's kind of a sweet Goldilocks spot.
Mm-hmm.
This would help us get more towards that Goldilocks area.
Okay. And then how many people are we talking about, and how many would they supervise?
So this would affect 15 employees across lead, supervisory, administrative, and director classifications.
Okay, and then how many people do they supervise on a day-to-day basis?
Department.
Okay.
So, anywhere between 5 to 17, 18. Each department is structured a little bit differently in the sizing.
Sure. Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And I'm sorry,
no.
One more question. So is it the same for all of those people, or is there a differential in the number of people they say supervise, and is their responsibility all the same?
It would depend on the position. So the leads that we're trying to get to that assistant supervisor position, depending on the department, they would supervise the same number of people. So for example, we have one department, the supervisor and lead would be expected to supervise 11 people, and they would be a team to supervise those 11 people. We have another department where we don't have a lead at all because it is a smaller department, so they just have a supervisor, and that department has us 5 staff members. We have another department that's closer to 18. They have a lead and supervisor. I think there's an opportunity in the future to potentially provide another leadership position in there as that department grows in size. But it would depend on each department specifically.
Okay. And Chairman, one more question. What is the retiring PCN? Tell me the title of that again.
It is an area supervisor position, currently in grade 14, PCN 675.
And what I heard you say was that, so what happened to this position, and what do you, with the growth, tell me how I put those together where you don't need that.
So for some context, we used to, I mean, it still exists. The Juvenile Justice Center is an office and courthouse that sits across the street. There's two judges that are currently chambered over there as well as courtrooms. And they're used for, we can't bring juveniles across the street. They can't be seen in the public. So it comes from the Juvenile Justice Center over to those juvenile courtrooms. We had clerk staffing on that side. It was a department about 7, 8-ish people. And because they were housed over there full time and kind of outside of the normal clerk's office, we had a supervisor role that was over there, a lead role that oversaw a small number of staff. They were kind of a catch-all. The way that we function over here in the greater courthouse is everything is kind of standardized in a sense of we have a clerk's department that covers just civil and family law. We have a clerk's department that handles specifically criminal law. We have a clerk's department that goes into court with the judges at the magistrate level, a department that goes into court at the district level. They did it all because they were such a smaller, their team would work on the window, they would work with the filings, they would go into court with the judge, they would potentially act as a judicial assistant. We had a structure and a leadership structure that existed for all of those things. And there was an opportunity, you know, we're gonna be redesigning the clerk's office at some point. That there've been preliminary talks that we're gonna get some space as the sheriff's office moves down. I think there was always a point where we were going to take that back and reabsorb that into the greater staff. We had an exodus of that supervisor. She decided to go work for her husband's business. And so with that, it didn't really make a lot of sense to put in a new supervisor when we would maybe be reabsorbing 12 to 18 months down the road and then asking ourselves, what does a supervisor supervise at this point? So it was left vacant. We did that reabsorption. Everybody got kind of put into these other departments. But we didn't need supervisors because those departments already had supervision.
I see.
So those two supervisor positions that were across the street have been vacant.
Okay. Thanks for the expanded discussion.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
So I'll go over a couple of the larger highlights that I have. Some of the things I did want to highlight, you know, there has been an increase in the requests for services from the courts, just in a general sense, from 24 to 25. In just civil and family law cases alone, there's been nearly a 16% increase in cases and associated filings. We haven't necessarily seen the same increase, you know, with staffing numbers. So there has been, that stressor has been felt in that office. So the next goal that I had was I wanted to try to recognize our employees a little bit better. Historically, for the last fiscal years, we've spent $600 on employee appreciation. Yeah, what I'm about to ask for, I'm expecting some jaws to drop. I'm asking for that to be changed to $6,000. That represents an investment of $67. Let me get the exact number for you. I apologize. $68.97 annually for each employee. Now, while that is a large number and it looks large on a line item, the number of staff that we have is also large. So it's 87 employees that we could have. So that represents $68.97 annually. In my mind, we would do some quarterly employee engagement opportunities. It breaks down to $17.24 per employee per quarterly engagement. Right now, the allocation has been $600, which was $6.90 per employee. It didn't really allow an opportunity to do much outside of service awards. As employees reach milestones of 5, 10, 15 years, we would get little, you know, plaques or acrylics or some retirement things. And it kind of just funded that and that only. Right now, one of the major issues that we're facing is kind of a return on investment in our personnel. It's not uncommon when we have to hire a new clerk that it takes 6 to 12 months to fully train them. It wasn't until about 6 months in that I felt competent and I was able to do the job autonomously and actually provide what I would consider a benefit to the county. I think Jess's experience was the same way, you know, when he first started with the clerk's office. What we're finding is we have trainers and staff that are taking 6 to 12 months of time to kind of really lock in and sit hip to hip with the person for nearly a year. They're able to work autonomously for a year. At that point, we're kind of neutral. We've invested a year of time. They've given us back a year of time. And I don't know what it is, but we just seem to start losing people kind of around that timeframe. So before we truly get our return in on investment, we end up neutral and then they leave. It hurts the department. The department is trying to, you know, then get caught up and keep up on these increasing service demands on the court system. And it's just very difficult. So I'm trying to figure out a way to kind of improve morale and culture and hope that that will improve retention. Now, I don't know that this is going to work, but my ask is that for fiscal year 27, you allow me to try.
And where it's been service awards, which historically, Jess, you probably have maybe more hands-on knowledge or having worked under a prior clerk. I'm interested in what your ideas are for boosting morale with going for a 10 crease infold. Or,
yes, ma'am.
Yep.
I think food engagements are the first thing that would come to mind. Any sort of employee opportunities, if I could do some recognitions where we have increased workloads, you know, provide some sort of incentive for them. You know, I'm asking staff to come in and do overtime. Maybe we are able to provide some sort of light refreshments for them during those times. To kind of provide context as to, you know, this is kind of having a cost, this employee retention. Our overtime budget is $18,000 for fiscal year 25. I'm at 106% of that already. We're 63% through the fiscal year at this point. So I have 37% to go, and I'm already at 100% or 106% through that budget. So we've flown past it, unfortunately. It's something that I didn't want to happen, but it unfortunately did. It does have a cost, so I'm hoping that this reallocation can help with that. And that's what truly this is. This isn't an ask for a new expenditure. It is a reallocation. Historically, for previous budgets, we've asked for training, hotel, and airfare for some initiatives that we did annually. That came out to $14,100 each year. I'm trying to refocus training efforts on more remote options, so that way we could save the taxpayers money on airfare and hotel. And I would like to take a portion of that savings and reallocate that into the clerk appreciation.
Okay, and so with that, is there a net between that you're looking at that would make that cost neutral or above or below?
It would be, it would end up being a savings. So right now the hotel historically was always $5,500 is what we were asking for. It was furloughed for fiscal year 26, but if you look back on fiscal year 25 and 24, it was $5,500. So I'm asking that we take $5,400 of that and reallocate that to employee appreciation. That would be a savings of the $100 there.
Okay.
And then the airfare reduction in subsidy would just be a pure savings.
And I'm just
right back to the tax.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Again, that expanded discussion, that you're ready with an answer. I think that there's probably a bigger policy discussion that we need to have. Where Jess was, again, under the clerk for a number of years, the policy at that time, which is not in writing, was that we couldn't use employee appreciation funds for food items. Sometimes people are motivated by that. So it has to be a board in conjunction with, because the implications of that as well, there's always a fairness factor that when other people listen to a budget presentation and there's a tenfold increase in an ask on an employee appreciation line, that could create a domino effect that I'm not sure we'd be able to sustain. So I like the creativity. We're in need of policy everywhere. And to be able to pull that out would be a great discussion that the clerk and the board would need to have.
I would note, Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, just, you know, for comparison's sake, and we don't need to have an expanded conversation about this, but if you do look at field services under the sheriff, their employee appreciation line is $5,000. So, I don't know exactly what they do with that $5,000 and you know, how they're giving back to their employees with that amount. But if we're talking pure, you know, staffing numbers, Matt's group is you know, fairly large as well. He has a comparatively sized group.
So it's in the same number of employees or close?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly who falls under field services in particular under the sheriff. I'm not sure exactly what group that is. But yeah, I would imagine that it's relatively close as far as number of staff.
Okay. And then the other thing I appreciate you bringing forward, travel expenses are significant for some offices. So the idea of doing a remote to be able to host that here and make that still beneficial, I think, is a good, another good creative way. So I don't really have an answer on what you're suggesting, but I like the think tank where we think outside the box. I think that's always good.
Yeah, that was my goal. I was, again, at budget neutral, worst case scenario, savings, whatever possible.
That would be best case scenario.
So speaking of savings, some of the items that we are decreasing for fiscal year 27, I'm asking for an $8,000 increase in overtime. We've already shot past fiscal year 25. We were 4% over. We're at the 106% now, so we're going to be.
What's fueling that?
I know there's some issues with the increase. I know the increase in filings has fueled some of that. We've had to have staff come in on a weekend, which traditionally is never a thing. We had to have 10 plus staff members come in for 4 hours, so it's 40 hours at a rate of pay of approximately $20 to $22 an hour. So that eats up a significant portion of the budget in just kind of one day. It's not uncommon that we're getting unique customer interactions digitally to the tune of 300 different, we call them envelopes. Those envelopes can contain anywhere from one court pleading to a dozen court pleadings. And it can take anywhere from a few minutes to process to up to an hour. The filers, the system is open 24/7. So while court staffing is open during business hours, Monday through Friday, court staff will be caught up on Friday and things are in a very good spot. And you'll come back Monday morning and you're behind 2 days because they're able to continually file and we don't have the luxury of that. Some other departments are working more closely with our justice partners, law enforcement, the PA's office, the PD's office. They keep normal traditional business hours, so those filings kind of happen during business hours and they can stay caught up. But the civil and family law department almost never sleeps.
Okay. Are we speaking to overtime? Sorry, we were having a sidebar.
Yeah,
yeah, and I will cop to part of Matt's overtime budget in the clerk of the court has been utilized when I use court staff to staff elections for election day when we utilize extra volunteers. So there has been a portion of that budget that has been utilized for that purpose. We're hoping to shift that and to better reflect the actual operating budget of the elections office. So part of why you'll look at Matt's overtime right now and see that it is so insanely over has to do with last November's election and a good portion of court staff doing that. But I do agree with Matt's increase for the overtime line item, not only because of the just a pure amount of filings that are happening, but also I think we're seeing the change with Dayforce, I think, is going to show a lot more exact numbers of what overtime is actually reflected compared to what historically when staff was just entering, a flat 8 hours. And if they were here and it's something that I saw on a daily basis down in 201, if they were here an extra 5 to 10 minutes, most staff was, I think, just kind of inclined to say, oh, it was 8 hours. I'm walking out. Now, obviously, with it being an exact measurement of time, that 10, 15 minute, bits of time, when you look at 10 to 15 employees getting that in a week, that's straight overtime that you're. So, I think that part of it is maybe the change to Dayforce. Part of it is going to be the increase to filings. And it is nice having a little padding because it's never nice seeing things go into the red. So.
Right. Chairman, I have a question, and I just need you to clarify the semantics. You said occasionally elections will have volunteers from the clerk of the court. And so are they truly volunteering their time, or they are willing to work for pay? Are they?
Yes. Well, they're volunteering for pay.
Okay.
I should clarify that. So,
voluntold is what I get.
Yes,
I've heard that call.
Which I appreciate. We, I'm glad we're having this conversation today because last night I had a number of court staff, probably 12 to 13 members of court staff, join us throughout the day and night last night, and we wouldn't be able to get the job done as efficiently without them. And a number of them return and have been returning for years. But yeah, they are paid at their normal rate of pay, but they, you know, they don't have to do it. So they don't have to be there from 7 to 1 o'clock in the morning.
So are they incurring part of that overtime cost, Jess?
The last few elections, I had been able to absorb that overtime into the court's budget. And so it was a conversation between me and Clerk Hogebohm about, you know, should we go back and move the time accounting of those hours of those employees to the elections overtime budget and have it absorb that, or, you know, is it going to be fairly budget neutral if we just allowed the clerk of the court's budget to absorb it? And it had kind of worked out in previous fiscal years where it wasn't too much of an issue. But this year, yeah, it is showing with Matt's increased overtime need. That is showing to have been a problem. So, and Controller Wilmot and I have kind of discussed looking as we get closer to maybe the end of the third quarter of this fiscal year, we might even go in and journal those previous clerk of the court employee hours that were allocated to allocated to elections, moving them actually physically and journaling them to elections if Matt's overtime budget is too extreme in the red.
Okay.
If it doesn't accurately reflect.
Sure.
Yeah.
The budgets.
Right. That's probably a good idea. Yeah. Kyle's shaking his head, yes.
You're not supposed to rat him out.
Oh, no, it's good. I always like affirmation from the subject matter experts in the room, so that's a win for me. Thank you.
So with that increase comes a reduction. We currently, for fiscal year 26, spent approximately $43,000 for part-time employees. One of our part-time employees has resigned, and we don't expect to fill that position. We're trying to be less reliant on part-time work. So that we have one part-time employee left, and the budget for that is going to be $23,000 needed for fiscal year 27. That'll be a reduction of $20,000. So while I'm asking for that $8,000 increase into the overtime, we are also reducing part-time by $20,000. So my ask would be that we take a portion of that savings and that it's just reallocated into the overtime budget.
Okay.
So that's really most of my A-line budget. As far as the B budget, you know, service contracts, we are reducing that by $1,000. I think there was a thought that there was going to be an increased expenditure for this year that didn't end up happening, thankfully. The current contracted price annually is $3,800. The contractor has sent out communication saying that starting October and on, anybody that's renewing will be subject to a 10% increase. So we are going to pay the $3,800 contract price plus an additional $380. My ask is for $4,200 to cover that full price as we renew this contract next spring. But overall reduction from fiscal year 26.
And I'm sorry, Matt, tell me the line item you're looking at again.
It is under service contracts.
Okay.
It's on 50533301.
It's in the narrative.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
Another reduction we have is with the cell phones. We currently have identified two phones that are just not needed for the staffing, I myself included. I'm always here on campus. I'm always reachable by my office phone or via email. I don't think the taxpayers need to pay for a cell phone for me, so I would like to give that back and give that savings back to the taxpayers for fiscal year 27.
Yep, and Chairman, I appreciate that. We would have to relook at the policy for the cell phones that the board adopted by resolution, which says that every county employee has to be issued a cell phone, and you're a key position.
Yes,
so we'd have to look at what that, even though I appreciate what you're saying. Yeah.
No, if it's necessary, then by all means.
Okay.
I appreciate the idea. I don't I don't know yet on that one.
No, ultimately, this is in your hands.
Okay.
My job is just to present kind of potential savings or things that I have. I don't envy your position, I can tell you that.
Yeah, people say that to us all the time.
Yeah, Chairman, Commissioners, I will say the three cell phones that Matt has in that department currently, one of them resides with Grace Almeida and our language access coordinator. And the other two lie with Nathan Dutton and Daniel Rickwa. There are two clerk-specific IT-adjacent employees. So, yeah, those two obviously are very, very important. Those guys are running around assisting with the clerks in the courtroom to a certain degree within, you know, all of our departments within the three levels of this courthouse. So having them have their cell phones and the availability of seeing tickets and whatnot while on the go is extremely important. And then Grace is rarely in her office as well as she is, you know, running courtroom to courtroom. So those three are 100% necessary. I'd say someone that was in that position previously, I don't know that I used my phone all that much, but yeah, the decision does.
All right.
To the two of you.
Okay, so the other changes, we talked about that we'd be sunsetting the hotel line item in favor of finding more remote training options and no longer needing to utilize county funds for, you know, hotels and things of that nature.
And you have you looked at that at all to see if that availability, some of those conferences, and I don't attend very many, honestly, but some of them for the assessor's office are only offered in certain states, which are usually on the East Coast. But I just wondered if you'd explored that option to where you can actually remote that in.
Thankfully, most of the court training comes from the Idaho Supreme Court.
Okay.
The state being a unified court system, they get to kind of dictate what we do and what training looks like. They have a whole education department that does these things. They put on education initiatives throughout the year. We have a larger one that happens every October, and that is local. It's here in Boise. And so there is some small expenditure for, you know, meals and stuff like that that the Supreme Court will charge for if we want our staff to be able to eat lunch while they're there for the day. But outside of that, most of the stuff is remote. I spoke with Grace. A lot of she has to have some mandatory training initiatives, and she said that all of those are remote. That they obviously offer some, you know, local ones, and it's an opportunity to go and do those things. Yeah. But it's not a mandatory. All of the requirements can be handled remotely for her.
Awesome.
So the remaining budget is kind of geared more towards her specifically, to making sure that she maintains her requirements throughout the year.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. One major adjustment is the interpreter fees, line item 548012. We were allocated $95,282 during fiscal year 26. It has come to our attention that that money is in the district court fund and managed and overseen by the trial court administrator's office. Right now, because it is in our budget item, it is expensed against by us, by the clerk's office. So when interpreters need to be paid and those invoices are being processed, Grace is the one producing those and sending those through the financial workflow. And then it'll end up at my desk for approval and then off to audit. The trial court administrator's office would like to be the ones to handle those approvals since they've deemed it as basically their money. The way that it is paid out right now is the Supreme Court kind of figures out what the court would need annually or what the county would need annually. And they give that money to the district court fund quarterly. So there is just a little bit of a gap with how those are handled. Historically, this is how it's always been handled. So we were under the assumption that this was the correct and proper way to manage those funds. We've since found out that that may not be the case.
Yep. And there was discussion on this 4 or 5 years ago under a different clerk leadership where there was a lot of reluctance and resistance to give that funding up. It was a I really didn't understand why there was a problem, but it makes sense to me that if you have the revenue, you have the expense. And so Bonita is paying out the expense, and to toss all that over there to her, who they manage it anyway. So totally separate than what we're doing. That's a state function. So I think that's a really good move.
Yes.
Yeah. Sounds like a win.
In my opinion, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've had several conversations with the Tri Board Administrator's Office surrounding this, and it does make the most sense. I think there's a weird caveat that Grace, who is coordinating these interpreters and working hand-in-hand with these interpreters, is still a clerk employee. So I guess that's the one strange caveat, is that, you know, she's going to be, in essence, creating the claims that a department that is not her supervisor will be reviewing the claims. But I feel like our collaboration with the trial court administrator, that wouldn't be problematic.
Okay.
I don't see a problem with that.
And if anybody's talked to Grace Almeida about finances in the county, Grace bleeds Canyon County, and she is very concerned about controlling costs, and she does a great job. So that I don't see that presenting as a conflict of interest at some point in time, maybe if leadership changes, whatever, but this seems like a really good move. So I'm glad there's openness.
The final items that I have are office supplies. Fiscal year 26 allocated $18,000 to office supplies. Fiscal year 25 offered or allocated $20,000. Have an increase of $2,000 to bring it back in line with fiscal year 25. Currently, at this time, we've spent about 61% of the budget, with 40-ish percent of the fiscal year remaining. So we're on track to basically become right where we need to. I'm trying to keep conscious of inflation for next year, as well as just any, you know, small minute changes or expenditures that might come up. This will ensure that no overage occurs for fiscal year 27 with this modest increase.
Okay.
And then the final item we have is this would be a one-time expense, and it's regarding computer equipment. We've identified three printers that need replacing. One multifunction color copier and two desktop color copiers. One would cost, or the color copiers, the smaller ones, would be $875 each. The larger multifunction color copier would be $1,581. The ask is for $14,000 to cover for those three items. We have spoken with IT, and they have recommended the replacement for those three items. What would happen is the smaller printers, currently right now we have our judicial assistants, they have their own individual printers in their office. They're past end of life and end of service. So while they're functioning now, if there's something that goes wrong with it, there's no support for them anymore. So the thought is once they die or if we sunset them, that those staff would then share one printer on one side of the courthouse. The staff on the other side of the courthouse would then share another printer and utilize those two smaller printers in that capacity. Outside of that, I think I've covered the main topics that I have, unless you have questions, commissioners.
Made it one of the more interesting budgets I've sat through, just because of your preparedness. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Like a seasoned pro.
Yeah.
Good job.
For sure.
I taught him well.
No, that's awesome for a first. I had even forgotten you present well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have any other questions?
Can everybody present like that?
We need to take a break here. Do you guys have anything to add on this one before we recess? Okay, so it is 11:58. We're going to recess right now to take up a different item, and then we'll come back to this. So we'll be in recess. Thank you.